Welcome back, everyone. Today, I'm really excited because we announced the two lucky winners of our series giveaway. You'll want to check out the blog post for this episode to see if you are one of the lucky winners of Mary Keneally's series, Brothers in Arms. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, indie and traditionally published author Sarah R. Turnquist will dive into formatting software for authors. Her training will look at three formatting softwares, Vellum, Atticus, and Scrivener. Sarah will provide a brief overview of formatting in general, and then we will discuss some pros and cons of each software. This training is free for HCRW members and $17 for non-members. You can find a link to join below the blog post for this episode. And hopefully we'll see you there tomorrow morning. Our first Writers Wednesday episode aired this past Wednesday on Valentine's Day, and I hope our author friends found it informative and inspirational. We had author advice with Julie Lessman. And our next episode is going to air on February 28th, and we will be featuring author Liz Tolsma as we talk about writing deep point of view. And that's it for this week's announcements. Let's jump into today's book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. In this episode,
Tiffany
and Melissa will be discussing Christmas at Carton by Tamara Alexander.
Recently widowed, Aletta Prescott struggles to hold life together for herself and her six-year-old son. With a bank threatening to evict them, she discovers an advertisement for the Women's Relief Society auction and applies for a position, only to discover it's been filled. Then a chance meeting with a wounded soldier offers another opportunity and friendship. But can Aletta trust this man? Captain Jake Winston, a revered Confederate sharpshooter, suffered a head wound at the Battle of Chickamauga. When doctors deliver their diagnosis, Jake fears losing not only his greatest skill, but his very identity. As he heals, Jake is ordered to assist with the local Women's Relief Society auction. He respectably objects. Canoeing to a bunch of Creolans is not his idea of soldiering, but orders are orders, and he soon discovers the group of ladies, one in particular, is far more than he bargained for. Set up against the backdrop in the history of the Carton Plantation in Franklin, Tennessee, Christmas at Carton is a story of hope renewed and faith restored at Christmas.
I really enjoyed this book.
I did too.
A nice kickoff to the series, a nice novella. I'm going to borrow the book again so I can read some passages today. All right. So I am going to read this first part. There's this newspaper article, like a clipping on page 24. And I would love to know what your reaction was to it. So let me go back and find it. Says, while the gentler sex is highly esteemed, it's clear they're best suited for hearth and home, and utterly foolish to suggest that women should be involved in any way in the war effort. Their place is in rearing children and homemaking, and to insinuate that some females have managed to infiltrate the ranks of the army and are fighting alongside men even now is ludicrous. Not only would such women faint beneath the hardship of a soldier's life, they would flee in utter terror at the earliest sign of battle. What did you think when you read that?
Well, living in today's time, we know that things are much different.
Yeah.
And somebody saying that today would probably be offended somehow. Mm-hmm. But it was typical of that time period, so...
And I mean, go ahead.
I mean, that's typical for them to think that way. And I mean, things have only really changed for women in the last, 100 years or so. So,
yeah, I have to say, like, I don't generally jump into these topics too much on our podcast because I don't want to be political or anything like that right on here. I just want to have fun talking about books. But I think my stance on it is far different than most people would accept today. Like, back then, even reading through this series, how gruesome things were for our soldiers back then. And even harder knowing it's brother fighting brother in our Civil War. But so here, I wrote my thoughts down, so like maybe it will come across not so offensive to people, but I think there are some women that are able to put on the big girl pants and do what needs to be done. Like, I feel like if it was like last ditch effort, I could do it because I have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my back's against the wall. But I think most women would prefer to be at home.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, I understand there are some women that they want to do that. That's fine. But I don't think women belong on the battlefield unless it's absolutely necessary. So I know. I see. It look like, because
I know, well, it's hard.
A couple reasons, okay? We all know a unit is only as strong as their weakest member. And I'm sorry, but women will always be the weakest link among men because we just don't, we're not built to their level of strength and ability. And I'm okay with that. I said, embrace it. I love being the weaker one.
You like the Prince Charming rescue. That's why.
I don't have all this responsibility on my shoulders like Derek does, right?
Yeah.
And because I fully embrace the way God created us, right? That's how we were designed. And women are to be cherished, protected, and provided. And the men are to be doing the cherishing, protecting, and providing, right? Which leads me to my second point. Women become a distraction on the battlefield because now the men are concerned with protecting us instead of watching the back of their brothers and completing the mission, right? And that's because God wired them to protect us. I won't say anymore. I said I'll get off my soapbox now, but I'm not like, I don't think less of a woman who goes into military. I if that's where you feel like you want to be and want to serve, that's fine. I just feel like the battlefield's really for our men. There's ways you can serve in the military and not be on the battlefield too. So anyways, I just, when I read that, I was like, whoa, look at that. That article's pretty spicy for this day and age.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Typical of that time.
Yeah. And I probably get some heat for my thoughts, but that's okay. They're my thoughts. You can have your own. It's fine.
I'm not offended.
Okay. what did you think of Jake's reaction to the article? Because he read a similar article, it sounded like. And his reaction, I was just curious what you thought. So he read it and he finally looked up and managed to smile. The wording in the letter was overly harsh, but he couldn't say he disagreed with the opinion overall. The way he looked at it, it wasn't so much that women lacked the constitution for war as it was that men had a God-bestowed duty to protect them from the horrors of it.
Yeah.
I liked how she came back with his opinion. Protect, I don't know. What were your thoughts on that?
Again, I was like, his thinking of war was typical for that time period. But I don't think they realized how much the women actually played into the war and how much they did behind the scenes and how to step up and fill those positions.
Yes.
Protecting the home and taking care of things.
Which we'll get to because that comes up later. I liked how he believed women could handle the war, but that men had a God-bestowed duty to protect them from it, which is, I think, because it just lines up with my own thinking on it. And I feel like this gave us our first glimpse into the man of God that he is, and you kind of start to fall in love with him at that point. Yeah. Like, he believes women are strong enough, but he also believes it's his duty to protect them, which I love. What did you think of Aletta's late husband's viewpoint on the Civil War? I found, before we dig into that, did you find it interesting to read a novel based around the Civil War, like really right in the middle of the Civil War, from the Confederate viewpoint?
Yeah, it was a little different. And I think the fact that she was pregnant and already lost her husband too was a little different, because I'm like, okay, where is this going? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be her love story or somebody else's? Because it was really soon after her husband left, I feel like passed away.
4 or 6 months or something like that. 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's already showing.
Yeah. Yeah. She was still pregnant with his child. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, okay, well, where is this going? I think that was more shocking to me than the
Confederate side.
Yeah.
I think, you know, being raised in Yankee territory, it was just different, because in my brain, it's always, no, the North was the right side, right? We were fighting to free other people, and it was right, and the South was in the wrong. But the South had, it would be interesting to talk to a historian, I guess, about it. It was just very different mm-hmm. to see the Civil War from the eyes of people in the South, and kind of eye-opening, and kind of makes you go like, you know.
But that's all they ever knew.
Exactly. Exactly.
They didn't know any other way.
It gives you more compassion and more understanding. And it broke my heart, because we were so, so divided like mm-hmm. that. But here was his point of view. This isn't only about slavery, Aletta. President Lincoln refuses to recognize the Confederate States of America. He sent a garrison to occupy Fort Sumter. The Confederates attempted to negotiate their withdrawal, but again, Lincoln refused. Now he's issued a call up for 75,000 troops to put down what he's terming the rebellion in the South. We have a president claiming power for himself and the government that far exceeds what's given to him by the Constitution. And if we don't stand up now, I fear that what was fought for almost 100 years ago might be lost forever. I mean, what did you think when you read that? Oh, I'm going to let you share yours before I share mine.
I know yours is going to be a way better viewpoint.
I don't think so.
I mean, the government. I mean, I can understand.
I mean, had you ever heard that viewpoint before?
No, I hadn't.
You know, so, I think just from childhood up, we're just taught it was a war over slavery.
Slavery. And, you know. And that's what I told. I mean, when my husband's asking about the books, I'm like, you know, it's about mm-hmm. more based in the Civil War. And he's like, and that's both what we said about the slavery. I'm like, well, it's got a little bit different twist in it here and there. But yeah.
But I think these might have been like real beliefs and thoughts from, back then.
That'd be interesting to know if it was.
It would. I know she did a ton of research, but she also lives nearby where this takes place, too. But okay, first of all, Lincoln is my favorite president ever. And so whenever anyone badmouths him, I'm like, oh, no.
You get your penny out. And I'm like,
don't you dare badmouth him. He was a great man. And so I was like, he was not overreaching, but I could see how they would think that, because as states, we have the right to secede from the Union. Mm-hmm. But I also think, oh, my word, what if Lincoln didn't take a stand and say, would we still have this outright? We still have slave trading going on all over the world, even here. It's just done in secret and mm-hmm. we don't know it. But what would the world look like today if he hadn't taken a stand and said, we will be one nation and we will not hold people in slavery?
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I could see why they would say it's overreaching. And then one of the thoughts, I mean, I don't believe it was overreaching, but also, you know, I kind of have a...
We live in a different time period, so it's hard to...
Right, it's really hard to say.
It's really hard for me to say what I would have been like back then, because I didn't have to deal with what they had to deal with. Like, we don't have to worry about our next meal. We don't have to worry about our home, you know. We don't have to worry about all the, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, little things.
Living in a war zone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, your daily life.
Yeah.
We just kind of take it for granted this day and age.
So. Yeah.
I know it's terrible, but it's also like, you know.
No, I get it. I get it. We should never take it for granted. I have a quote on our fridge from like Samuel Adams or I don't know, somebody way back then that said, you will never know what it cost my generation to give you this freedom. And right. I hope you use it well. Something to that effect. Aww. And I have it up there just to remind me like, yeah, not only his generation, but every generation after who have sent our men off to protect our freedom and the freedom of others. But I was thinking back about, you know, they talk, you know, back then they were saying Lincoln was using, the government was overreaching, right, mm-hmm. with its power. And I thought, they're all probably rolling in their graves right now at the overreach of government we deal with now.
Right.
I mean, seriously, they hear every conversation we have pretty much. You know what I mean? It's what it feels like. It's their hands are in everything. And I'm sure they're thinking, oh, my goodness, like they went to war back then thinking they were stopping this. You know, you know, they always say big brother, you know, keep big brother out of my life. So
now
I just
people
thought it
do
was,
it willingly.
Yeah. And now we're just like, oh, come on.
Let's
in.
Take a picture and put it on the internet. Yeah.
So, we won't go down that
right,
trail.
Don't go down that rabbit trail.
But it was interesting. I never considered that viewpoint.
Yeah.
So there's this moment, too. So circling back to what you were talking about, how women may not be on the battlefield, but we're fighting the fight at home. And Jake has that aha moment because, you know, he's stuck because of his injury. He can't be a sharpshooter anymore. He initially feels like, oh, I'm stuck here helping these ladies raise money for the guys that are fighting. And I'd rather be fighting, you know. But there's this scene. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. But basically, all the women are working to knit scarves and things for the soldiers. And someone comes in with an updated list of men who have died on the battlefield. And it was like one after another. It was like two women got news that their husbands were dead. And this total just breakdown. And then women just gathering around them and praying and stuff. And he said he walked to the door, then turned back. Not as surprised as he would have been before spending time with these women to see the groups who had been knitting and sewing and chatting together only moments earlier, now huddled together again, but this time with heads bowed, lips moving silently as whispered prayers rose from around the room. How could he have ever thought that women could be shielded from war's cruelties, that they weren't strong enough to bear up beneath the weight of it? Granted, he would never wish to be fighting side by side with them on the battlefield. But these women were fighting nonetheless on a battlefield all their own. I think that goes back to what you're talking about. Like he gets this, finally gets it.
He sees it from the other side.
Yeah.
What they have to deal with and how. I don't think he didn't see the impact that they were having at home and how it was destroying families. Just as he was seeing him lose his brothers on the battlefield, people are losing their husbands and their fathers and their children, you know. So I think it was kind of like an aha moment
him. Yeah. For sure. It was heart-wrenching. That whole scene made me cry because I can't imagine being on the receiving end of that. But we've never lived in an active
wartime.
I mean, we've Desert Storm in the 90s, but, you know, we were young.
Like, yeah.
I didn't even realize what was going on. And then 9/11 happened. And then so we had war on terrorism. Now, I do remember feeling, because I feel like a lot of guys in high school at that point signed up immediately and were like, I'm serving. And one of them was a good friend of one of my younger sisters. And I remember going into this like panic mode. Like, I understand that you feel like you need to serve. But I kept thinking, and he was younger, a couple years younger than me, but I kept thinking, you're just a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you out there. I don't want you in harm's way. And he wasn't even like super close to me. He was super close to my sister. But I can't imagine when it was someone that's like really close to you, what that would be like. But I like how it showed, even though we're not on the battleground, we are fighting and we're trying to keep things going at home. We're on our knees. We're praying for protection over our men. And even then we have to face the cruelties of war on the home front, like losing your spouse. A lack of funds, like you talked about, lack of food, and even losing our homes, because she has a friend in here
is
facing losing her home. And there's creepy, lazy men still at that are trying to get favors from the women left by themselves. And if you know, do this for me, then I'll make sure the bank doesn't repo your home.
Yeah.
That is tough to stand up against because she had kids, too.
Right.
Right. She did. Bless her heart. She did. But I mean.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you think about their first kiss on page 137? Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. He kissed her gently at first, her mouth softer, sweeter than he'd imagined. But when a soft sigh rose in her throat, he drew her closer and she slipped her arms around his neck. He deepened the kiss, weaving his hands into her hair and, "Mama, we're here to help with the storm." Her son comes running towards her. What did you think of that?
I wrote down, ooh la la. And then, darn it.
Darn it. I know, he was thinking the same thing. Like, yeah. What did he say? Oh, he drew back slightly and broke the kiss, hearing the boys barreling in their direction. Aletta looked up at him and smiled, and whatever determination he'd had to move slowly where she was concerned vanished completely. So I thought it was really sweet. I enjoyed it. I put, it's sweet yet packed with passion. And I like reading kissing scenes from the guy's perspective. Do you?
I guess I never thought about it, but yeah.
I think I like it better than the women's. Like, I know what it's like on the woman's side. I want to know what that man's thinking, right?
Yeah, now that you say that. I did like how it was written.
All right, what was the roller coaster ride like for you as Aletta gets news back to back that turns her world like upside down, then upside down
that
again?
That was really hard to go through that with her. Because like she had just like let her guard down. I'm trying not to, without too much giving away. She just let her guard down. And then it was like, whoa, oh no. It was like an oh no, but oh yes moment. Like,
yes.
Like one side, you're like.
It is hard because I don't want to give away.
I don't want to give away too much. But yeah, it was, she was at one point like happy. And then she wanted to be happy, but you're sad on this and happy on that.
I know. I said, I felt really bad for her. She's being torn between wanting two things, but only being able to have one.
Right. And then to find out again that it was just heartbreaking.
That's what I said. Then to go through that crushing blow again.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
And then it made her feel even more guilty, I feel like, from before.
Yeah.
Without giving too much
away. I know. Like, okay. I know. It's hard, but it. Cause,
and
but
I wrote down, whoa.
Yeah.
I love it. My notes.
I love it. That's great.
I like doing these as I'm reading because it just helps me like
remember
in the moment more.
Oh, good to know. I'll send those ahead of time more often then. So I actually already have them done for the next series. So I'll send those out for you. It is easier to write your thoughts down as you're reading.
As you're reading and going. Yeah. Just to get
capture
reactions more, I feel like I put this time.
Who were your favorite characters?
I had Aletta, but I also liked, and I can never say their name right, the owners of the plantation.
I think it's the McGavicks.
McGavicks. I really liked her. Like, I just liked how warm and opening and, I don't know, she just was like a little angel.
But yes.
Just opened her home and her family to everyone and as it continues in the series.
Yeah.
So she was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But
I enjoyed all of them, but you're right. They both, her and her husband, you would think because they had a lot of money that they would be a little more like, but they weren't at all. Right. They were always welcoming. But my favorites, I loved Aletta and Jake because they're the center of the story, but I loved Andrew and Winder. So Andrew yes, being Aletta's son and Winder being the McGavick son, they were just adorable. They brought kind of the lighter side back into the story, I think, with all their boy antics,
being a kid.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite scenes?
I wrote down, I enjoyed the nativity building. And I think part of that was because she had to get his help. And that's kind of where they had their intimate moments. And
yeah,
I really enjoyed that. And then I loved how they put it together at the end and had the kids in it. They described it. It was so cute.
Yes. So. Do you remember? I didn't really have any scenes that stuck with me. I thought it was well written. But it the nativity scene, does that kind of remind you a little bit of the, I can't remember the name of the book, but it was by Melissa Jaggers, where they did the nativity, like the Christmas story in the church, and they were pulling the little one up to do, to be the flying angel. And he was like, I got a wedgie. It just was hilarious.
Yes,
that was
now
hilarious.
That you say that, that's funny.
So this is a real place. You can actually still go to the manor. We'll talk about it a little bit more in next week's episode because it dives in a little bit deeper. But would you visit Carton? I hope I'm saying that right.
I think it sounds beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we should do a girls trip.
I'm not going to lie. I have looked and I found
it's
like
only
an
8 hours
Airbnb
away.
And everything.
So, 8 hours away. We could go.
I'd be like, Derek will be our chauffeur.
It's
He'll
right take down us- 65. Just take 65.
We should
I can get
it.
You to direct to the at the exit so we can go right after.
All right. We need to do a girls trip, except Derek would be upset if I went without him because he
Hans
would love
probably
to see
want
to it.
Go too. So
then I'm like, oh, we got to direct. No,
gotta get a kidding. Little bigger Airbnb.
Well, I thought one
might
that
like
was
it
really
too.
Nice. Yeah. I know. I thought, well, if you find a big enough place and everybody just splits it, it really
yeah,
cuts the
totally
cost
do
down.
That'd be fun.
Okay. Well, we just might do a trip and
record it.
Record it.
Because
they do
laughing.
A lot of, I looked it up, they do a lot of tours there.
Yeah.
Like a lot of different places you can see, and I would love
it's
to go
beautiful.
See it.
In the spring, we should totally.
Ooh, the spring.
When all the flowers are popping and.
Oh, the problem is I don't think our spring breaks are lined up. Oh. I don't think your kids are off when I'm off.
Well, maybe in the summer then.
Yeah. Summer would be pretty too, but you're right. In the spring when everything's blooming. All right, moving on. Sorry,
okay.
I'll
we'll start planning our trip.
How would you rate the following elements of the story? So romance level, what do you think?
I put mocha just because there could have been more.
Yeah.
But there was a little. There, so.
You gave it more than I did. I went espresso.
Espresso?
Yeah. I thought, I mean, it's also considered a novella in its length. So it's you could pack more in a novella, but yeah. What about the suspense level?
I put espresso.
Me too. There wasn't a lot of suspense in this one. Action.
Put espresso.
I did too. And mystery.
Espresso.
Yeah, because there really wasn't much of a mystery here. And drama.
I put a mocha because there was a little bit of drama with the war and the back and forth.
Yeah.
And just... Yeah, there was a little bit. So I put, little more than a little bit.
Yeah.
So I put mocha.
Okay. I put espresso, but I could probably lean towards mocha on it too. And inspiration level.
I put mocha.
Okay.
Because there could have been more, but there was a little, you know.
Yeah, more than just a little, but not a lot of it. So right there in the middle. I put espresso, but I could see it being mocha too. I think she puts more in the two novels that follow it.
Yeah.
Which there's
Which
supposed
I did
to be.
As I was reading, so maybe that's why I was.
Yeah, I think I found more inspiration layered into those. And it's probably just because they're full length novels. So you have a little more time to weave that in. But what is your overall rating of Christmas at Carton by Tamara Alexander?
And I put 2 lassos only because I could have read more into the story is what I put. But because if it was, I think, a full length.
I would have gone three. I did 2 lassos as well. It's well written.
Very well written.
Fun read. It definitely will have you hooked. It just may not get you to hogtied.
Right. Because I just needed a little more. I feel like more of their love story.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, awesome. I love this discussion. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.